In your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, let me read a parallel passage, Colossians chapter 4. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, preacher asked me to preach, and I was praying about it. This is something that I started in our church several years ago, a little exercise. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible? You want a book on how to raise your family? You want a book on how to deal with problematic people at work and in life? Don't go out and buy somebody's books. Yeah. Study this one. The answers are in here, every one of them. It takes a while to find them. As talked about this morning, buying the truth, you're going to have to invest some time. You're going to have to put forth that effort. If you don't expend it, you're not going to get back. A three-minute Bible devotion. Well, then you get 3 minutes back. That's not going to cut it, my friend. It's going to take some serious effort here. And what I have done here tonight, what I want us to do, and the more that you go yes like this, and I don't have to look up every little piece, and the quicker you get out, all right? And so we're going to look at a biblical commentary. We're going to allow the Bible to comment on itself. We talk about redeeming the time, buying back the time. How do we do that? How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? That's one of my favorite stories. I mean, the theater of the mind is just so incredible as David is standing on the back of the giant. And in my mind, I can hear the chink of the sword hitting the pebbles in the ground underneath. What used to be the part that attached his head. Now, I just love that. I really do. It brings out the real New Yorker. No, I'm only kidding. People say there's violence in the Bible. Yeah, there's violence in the Bible, but the Bible deals with it very carefully. It's not a television show. And so what I want us to do is think about this, these words, redeeming the time, the days are evil, and walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, meaning that We have to understand some things. God wants us to be careful with time. He wants us to buy this back. So first we're going to get the negative commentary, how the Bible explains how you do not redeem the time, how we waste time, and that's King Saul. Most of us know the basic details of the story, that Saul was there and the giant came out and he presented himself. And let me just read this one verse here. It says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Every morning, Goliath would come out. And he would make his challenge, blaspheming the God of Israel, blaspheming the armies of Israel, demeaning the king and saying, can't you just find one person to fight me? Now, let's talk about Saul's preparation for this battle. 40 days of stalemate, 40 days of nothing happening, 40 days of this big, ugly galoot walking out there. And as we read later in there, it says every morning the army got their armor on. They went forth out of the trench. They were preparing to go to the battle. And as they were going, they were shouting the huzzah for the victory and coming out. And there was Goliath. And they turn around, go back. 40 days. That's a lot of time wasted. That is not how you redeem the time. But you need to understand that decisions that are made in a crisis are usually made because of the way we prepared for that event to come about. Now, how did King Saul prepare for this event? Well, number one, how many of you remember when Samuel told Saul he was anointed to be the king? And he said, these three things are going to happen. You're going to meet the guys going up and they're going to give you some bread. And God's going to give you a new heart. And God's going to make you a different man because you are not capable of being king by yourself. And God's going to give you these signs to prove that he wants you to be king. Now, where was Saul when Samuel called everybody? Come on, help me out. He was hiding, wasn't he? And somebody says, oh, he was just being humble. No, he wasn't. He was being rebellious against God. He wasn't being humble. He was being a coward. He was doing things that when God gives you direction, you should do them. When he knew that he was to be the king, he knew that he was to be the one looking for. But you see, it always, have you ever met someone that just knew how to manipulate your emotions and all of those things? They usually find employment either in sales, like used cars, faulty life insurance. And those that cannot make it in those positions usually become politicians. Because if nobody will believe or buy your stuff, voters will. I mean, they just, it's a tragedy. It shouldn't be that way. But that's the way it works today. And so Saul was not preparing himself to be obedient to God. He was preparing himself to be disobedient against God. Samuel, I believe there were Baptists in the Old Testament. Samuel was late. He told him, I'll be there in 7 days. How many of you remember this story? Go like this, and I won't have to read you the whole thing. Okay, we got some people want to get out of here, brother, so we're going to work on it. So Saul waits 7 days. Samuel doesn't show up, and he offers the sacrifice. Samuel shows up. You know, we Baptists may show up late, but we're always on time. He said, you've done foolishly. Why did you do this? Well, I was afraid that the Philistines would come and attack us. And so I wanted to make sure that we had sacrificed. Why don't you let that up to the man of God? That was his decision, not yours. You see, when God works in our lives, he works through lines of authority. That doesn't mean preacher's God. No. It doesn't mean he's even always right. No. He is fulfilling his position in the body that Christ has placed him in. And unless you fill your position in that same body, we've got conflict in the body. That means disease and weakness and sickness. And so we're trying to move forward here, but Saul wasn't helping. And then God finally gave him the order to wipe out the Amalekites. Something you need to think about. In the book of Esther, we have Hamadatha the Agagite. Is there possibly a relation between the Agagite and Agag, which was like the Pharaoh of the Ammonites, same kind of title? I think there probably was. Amen. Saul saved him alive for at least a period of time until Samuel got a hold of things, but you see, Saul had been disobeying God all along. And so when the crisis came, I want you to understand, Saul disobeyed God's commands. Now, is there anybody here that remembers what God told Israel to do when they came into battle and found themselves in a crisis? Can anybody remember? No. Not call on God. There was a special thing they were supposed to do. The silver trumpets that called the assembly was supposed to sound the alarm before God. The priests were supposed to go to the battle And the trumpets were supposed to blow. And God said, I will fight for you when you blow the trumpets. Saul didn't even know they existed, apparently. He had no mention of them. Later, David would say, we sought not at the tabernacle all the days of Saul for 40 years. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, Goliath comes out and says, send me a man to fight. The priests sound the trumpets. Goliath's sitting here looking back and forth. All of a sudden, the whole army of Israel starts coming this way. Hey, that's the way it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But it didn't, because Saul had not redeemed the time. He had not been preparing for the battle. And then that led him to the next point. And this is something that we have to fight against today. Who gets to set the terms of engagement? Okay, who is to say that just because you got 1 9-foot-6 super giant genetic misfit pro football player? Excuse me, that slipped out. I get so tired of these genetic freaks who can throw a ball or beat a ball or scream behind a guitar, and all of a sudden they're heroes. Who says that they get to set the rules of engagement? I'd think 40 or 50 to 1 would be pretty fair against Goliath, don't you? And when we don't listen to the world, what's the first thing they say? You're not playing fair. One-on-one, Goliath's only one guy. Well, where I come from, he weighs like 3 or 4, so let's... What would have happened if Saul had just blown the trumpets and sent everybody in?
Yeah.
And got out in front of him and said, listen, I don't care about anybody but the big ugly one. Get him first.
Yeah.
You would have seen that guy turn and hightail and hide in the bushes somewhere. But it didn't work that way, because Saul was not redeeming the time.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah. You see... For 40 days, the army set themselves in array for 40 days. And each day, it got a little easier to go back to the tents. You know, when you sit in church and you hear the preacher preach and you know that God's touching you and you say, well, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'll do it next Sunday. You're allowing your heart to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And Saul was leading the entire army of Israel through this process of having their hearts hardened to the deceitfulness of sin, where they were accepting cowardice as bravery. Now, how long was this thing going to go on? 40 days is a long time. And so in this process, as they were trying to feed the army, etc., David shows up on the battlefield.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? How many times did David hear Goliath present his challenge?
Amen.
Does that sound like redeeming the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yes. It is. Now, how had David prepared for this day? By keeping sheep. But while he was keeping the sheep, he honed a few skills. One was with a sling. And, you know, don't try to make one of those things at home. I mean, we're talking about two leather straps, 6 to 12 feet long, with a little pocket in the middle. And one of those straps is interwound in your finger, and the other one's loosely held right here. And he swings that thing and releases that one. And they talk about people in the Bible that could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, that's kind of like lighting matches with a pistol. It can be done. But I don't have enough time to practice that much. And even if I did, I don't think it'd do these old eyes any good. I mean, I have my readers in my pocket, but I have my contacts in so that I can see past the first row. I mean, it's not a good situation here. Don't think I'm a candidate for that kind of stuff. You have to have some skills there. He practiced with his staff. And by the way, those that are supposed to know these things tell me that if you have the choice between a sword and a staff, in the hands of the right, trained man, staff will beat a sword every day. Twice on Sundays. But you're not supposed to be fighting on Sunday. You're supposed to be in church. So we'll keep moving here. That was what they said. But David was also working on his harp. He was cunning. He learned to play. He learned to communicate and to worship God through his life and his music and his work. And when the lion came along to steal the sheep and to scooped up that little lamb in his mouth before he could clamp down, David was there and had expiated the lion. That's a big word for killed. And all the animal rights people, too bad. And animals were harmed in this story. I'm glad you like my humor. I'm enjoying this. So, the bear came out, met the same fate. When Saul needed someone to soothe his spirit from the Lord, because Saul had rejected God's protection. You know, people get caught up in the wording sometimes, our old King James Bible, an evil spirit from the Lord. You see, the reason the evil spirit came was because he had rejected God's protection. That's how simple it is, my friend. Don't be reading things into your Bible that aren't there. Only God, and only God is good, is in your Bible. But David heard the giant's challenge only one time. So what was the first thing he did? He goes to the soldiers. Haven't you heard this? And they're going, yeah, we're kind of used to it. I can give you even the inflection in his voice. You know, Joe over here, he's learned to imitate that low guttural roar that Goliath called. I mean, he can sound just like Goliath. I mean, we got this thing down. David's going, something's missing here. Don't you know what this guy's doing? He is blaspheming our God. Yeah. Do you realize that God could raise up sticks and stones to kill this giant? God could use anybody. Yes. Why aren't you going out there? In God's name, anybody has victory over the evil. Yes. And they're going, not me. You know why? Because they were following their leader, who had trained them, because he had not redeemed the time in his own life. He lacked everything there was to help anybody else redeem the time in their life. This redeeming the time thing is super important, is it not? And we as Christians can waste a great deal of our life. And you know what? David refused the help of the people who were not redeeming the time. Saul tried to give him his armor. Remember that? I can just see David putting on Saul's coat of mail and it comes down and clanks at his knees. And he's going, you know, I haven't proved this. I don't know how this thing works. He may have even tried Saul's spear. I mean, Saul was really affectionate with that spear. And David was going to find out in a little while. And he said, you know, God didn't give me your armor. He didn't give me a spear. He didn't. All he gave me was a sling and a staff. He said, if I can't get it done with those things, I'm not going to do it. And of course, in our modern day, we would say David was putting on a show. He was jiving the giant. He's coming out with a stick and a sling. And the giant's going, ah, look at that little kid. And he knew what he was doing and tricked him. No, that's not true at all. Yeah. David faced the battle with what he had.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've done this or not. I don't believe that he picked out five stones because he knew the Goliath had four brothers. Yeah. I believe he picked out five stones because there wasn't any way he's getting off six. You don't need to be weighted down. As my father-in-law would say at the restaurant, you would only sink the ship by taking on fuel. And some of you will get that after a while. And David just took what he needed. He faced the giant. We know what happened. Love the story. Because David won. And today we talk about David's defeating Goliath. Everywhere we go. The only problem is most people don't have the right IDs because they don't even understand the battle that's being fought. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 if we can. And I just want to tie in a few things here and then we'll be done. Verse 15, let's just start reading. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now, how many see the parallels in David's life to this passage? Did David learn to walk circumspectly? He most certainly did. He learned that keeping sheep. Was he understanding what the will of the Lord was when the bear showed up and tried to snatch his sheep? Well, the will of the Lord was to take care of the sheep. So that meant kill the bear. And he got it done. And that meant kill the lion. And that meant take the cheeses to the captain. And that meant play the harp. Well, he wouldn't play the harp for a while, but he did play the harp. I'm sorry. He'd already played the harp for Saul. It meant doing whatever was God had put in front of him, knowing what the will of the Lord is. Most of us know very simply what God's will is. Be in church on Sunday night. Be church on Sunday morning. Be church on Wednesday night. And serve the Lord. Be on visitation. I mean, where we live in the city, we have passed out tracts for years. Over a million tracts in our neighborhood. Way over that. And today, you try to pass out a tract and they think you're trying to give them COVID. You know, and you could sit there and spray that tract with Lysol and they're not going to take it because your germs are on it. I mean, that's how effective the fear mongers in our world have become. They cut us off. We can't talk to one another. We can't do anything. We need to pray. Because you can't witness to somebody who's terrified to death. They're not listening. And so you pray for us that we can find a way to make contact with people in a city controlled by foolish fear. So, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. By the way, that's not an excuse for social drinking, all right? How much alcohol does it take to change or modify behavior? It doesn't even take a whole one most of the time. But you finish one of those things, one serving of alcohol, and you're going to behave differently than when you started. And well, it just makes us all friendly. Well, why don't you get with God and get a spirit of godly love and fellowship, and then you don't have to fake it?
Amen.
Huh? Let's do this the real way instead of the fake way.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. If you take alcohol into your body, it modifies your behavior.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Well, how much more powerful is the Spirit of God than something out of a bottle?
Yeah, you're right.
By the way, they don't call it spirits
right.
in the bottle for
right.
by mistake. If we were only controlled by the Holy Spirit of God instead of our own desires or other outside things, how could David see so clearly what the entire army of Israel couldn't see? It was because he was under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And when God was offended at the saying of Goliath, David was so offended he was not going to let the sun go down. He wasn't waiting for the evening offering of the same blasphemy to come again.
Yes.
Something was going to be done. Why? Because he understood what the will of the Lord was.
Yeah.
Shut that guy up. He understood that there was no victory without going through Goliath at this point, because Saul had accepted the terms of the enemy. And so he said, I'll go. But before, I want you to understand that David had already been speaking to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. His worship was real. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was giving thanks to God. And he submitted himself. He went to the king first. He didn't try to straighten his brother out when his older brother rebuked him. He just asked a simple question. Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
That'll preach, won't it? Now, we live in a terrible world. We live in a world where most people... And by the way, please do not misunderstand me. I am not talking about having COVID parties. I'm not talking about going out there and flaunting everything that has been said. That we've got enough idiots out there. Let's not join them.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I cannot change the world that I am given.
Yes.
But what I can do is obey God in the world. I can redeem that time. And I'll tell you what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is... See, churches started and established.
Yeah, that's right.
And Brother Neuberger was there right from the beginning. And now he's leaving. And saying, now what am I going to do? Well, we're going to fill in the spot until God sends a man that can live there permanently.
Yes.
However long that takes. And so we covet your prayers. Well, we've got some work to do. As soon as I get back, hopefully my son has cut the rest of the steel, but those big stained glass windows in our building, they're 8 feet wide and 12 foot tall, and the whole bottom half of the frame is made out of steel. It was put there in 1935, so guess what happened? You could actually see through the frame in a bunch of spots. And so it's like, okay, we got to get this fixed. And so we still had the weatherproofing to weld into place and lock it all in and seal it up, but we're almost done. And if you don't get too close, it doesn't look too bad. Amen? No, actually, it turned out pretty good. And we thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
We're not going to let the world or outside forces control us.
Yeah.
We've got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And we got to sing, and we got to talk to God, and we got to sing in our souls. No one can take the song out of your heart.
Amen.
Only you can do that.
Yeah.
The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Sometimes that means thanking God for some pretty rotten stuff.
Yeah.
It always makes me nervous when I hear someone say, I can't believe that. And sometimes they'll even use some pretty vulgar language for people who believe in Jesus Christ about how horrible things are. I remember a preacher one time talking about a terrible experience, said, I went through hell. And I'm going, wait a minute. That's not possible. I don't care how bad it was. You didn't go through what the Bible describes as hell. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. You see, the Bible tells me that if I can't be thankful to God, if I can't look up to Him and say, God is good, then I'm actually accusing God of having done less than His character demands.
Wow.
Not going to do it. No matter how bad I feel. Because feelings change.
Yes.
I can tell you a happy story and you're going to laugh. I can tell you a sad story. And if I'm good enough at telling the story, I bet I could even jerk a few tears. Those are feelings. They don't do very well when you got to live tomorrow.
Yes.
When you got to face the giant, feelings don't count for much. Somebody said, was David afraid? Only an idiot wouldn't be afraid, and David was no idiot. But his fear of offending God was so great that he wasn't near as worried about what the giant might do as he was about what God might do. You see, he had already seen what happens when God removes his hand from a man's life. David said, I can't afford that. Knowing what the will of God is, being led by the Spirit of God, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. David redeemed the time. Saul wasted it. That's the commentary. Now the invitation. Where are you going to find yourself in the story? Preacher?